Love.
Alleluia, alleluia. The Word of God is living and effective, able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
The disciples of John and of the Pharisees were accustomed to fast, and people came to Jesus and objected, "Why do the disciples of John and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus answered them, "Can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast on that day. No one sews a piece of unshrunken cloth on an old cloak. If he does, its fullness pulls away the new from the old, and the tear gets worse. Likewise, no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the skins are ruined. Rather, new wine is poured into fresh wineskins." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, Lord. Today's Gospel is a classic example of why Scripture needs to be read in context, because if this was the only piece that you had from the New Testament on fasting, you might be given to the untrue and unnecessary belief that Jesus is somehow opposed to it. But of course, we know that Jesus isn't opposed to fasting because he begins his public ministry with a solemn fast we commemorate still in the season of Lent. And later on, once he's commissioned his disciples to heal and to exorcise, and they come upon those diseases they cannot heal and those demons they cannot expel, what does he tell them? Prayer and fasting. So the Lord commands the fast. The church today has, in her wisdom, granted us literally the most lenient fasting legislation in its history. We've never been so weak. It's not just that it's not the 19th century. We've never required so little of people. But that's not what the church is about. The church has in view here that each of us will take enough responsibility for our own Christian lives that we'll develop the ascesis particular to us, that we'll figure out the discipline that's right for me, which might not be exactly what it is for you. This is especially pertinent, I think, today when so many of us struggle with abundance. We have so much food available to us all the time, of every kind of variety. Even those of us without much money can get most of the things that we want most of the time. And so it requires a special exercise of the will to say no to ourselves. It's not only food. Booze. Remember when wine wasn't a thing people in the Midwest drank? I do, and I'm not very old. Right? And this is to say nothing of the whole problem of sex and porn, right? I can honestly say that as a confessor, the thing that I have found most effective in combating porn is simply fasting. I mean, it's so simple, it's hanging right in front of your face. But if you can't say no to yourself in one part of your life, say no to yourself in some part that you can still control. And when you begin to be able to exercise your will over one part of your life, then in time, you're able to again exert control in those others. Make no mistake, though, we never have total control. And that's really the lesson of the first reading. So Saul is given the Amalekites to take by the ban, which was rather horrendous, but was itself a kind of early attempt by God to reveal to us what just warfare looks like. You weren't allowed simply to rape and pillage. It was forbidden by the law, so that the Jews actually garnered a reputation in the ancient world as being a very civilized army. They were good to their people when they had to fight them. But Saul violated the terms of the ban. And he took all kinds of livestock from the people that they'd conquered, which not only created an economic problem for the people that they'd conquered and left all of these widows and children with no food, but what was worse, he covered it with a pious cause. He said, well, I'm taking these, but they're going to be sacrificed. That doesn't make it okay. Doing bad things and covering it with a pious veneer does not make it okay. Doing what we want and only justifying it after the fact with Jesus stuff doesn't make it okay. We have to authentically follow God's law. We have to at least, in honesty and integrity, follow God's will. And we have to have the humility to admit when we're wrong, either because we've discovered it ourselves or because God has been kind enough to give us a prophet like Samuel. I don't know about you. There's plenty in my life I've justified for pious cause that probably wasn't so pious. I don't know about you, but there are certainly parts of my life that still need to be subjected to the Lord's own discipline. I don't know about you, but there are parts of my life that simply don't reflect the peace that the opening prayer, the collect, spoke of. But I want it to, and I think you do too, which is why we're here. I was listening to a Protestant pastor early this morning preaching commemoration of Dr. King, and he had an insight that I think might tie this all together. He said, it's no accident, he said, that Dr. King gave the I have a dream speech and not the I have a plan speech. When I was talking to the teachers at the Catholic schools earlier today, I said that, and I said, you know, wouldn't it be funny if instead of creating lesson plans, we wrote out lesson dreams? We took the time to just imagine what it was we wanted to have happen in the little ones' lives, and not lay out exactly what we were going to say and do to justify to somebody in charge of us. What would it be like if you had an ascetic dream, a disciplined dream for your own life? Not a spiritual plan, but a spiritual dream. To establish peace in your own heart and in the hearts of those around you. To be the sort of person that you know God is actually calling you to be. To put yourself in the space where God can bring about that peace which will last forever. The justice of the kingdom, which will roll down from the mountaintops and carry us from this altar to his own.